Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This is the LA Local Evening Update, keeping you caught up with the latest from KNX News. Check back each weekday afternoon for the LA Local's full daily briefing on what you need to know in SoCal.
Good afternoon, I'm Rob Archer. People in the San Fernando Valley felt the shaking from a quake near Malibu, but first, the overcrowding at LA City animal shelters is leading to more dogs and cats being euthanized this year, Karen Adams reports.
The rate of euthanasia for dogs and cats has skyrocketed from the same time last year.
What we are seeing now is animals who are languishing in kennels for a long amount of time, a long period of time. And ultimately what we see is animals getting sick or dogs getting behavior problems from sitting in their kennels for too long. And then they're slating them for quote unquote euthanasia for safety or behavior, when these are problems that have developed while they've been in the shelter.
Brittany Thorne with Best Friends Animal Society says they have a long history with working with LA and had to withdraw their offer of financial support earlier this year after the city seemed to show no urgency in resolving the crisis. But Thorne says the issue is solvable.
What that solution looks like is appropriate funding for LA Animal Services, appropriate staffing levels.
The mayor's office says thousands of animals have either been adopted or rescued with the help of its New Hope partners and will further accelerate life-saving efforts by way of a groundbreaking national collaboration. I'm Karen Adams, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
A small earthquake hit near Malibu this afternoon, happened around 2:15. It was upgraded to a 3.8. The initial report was a 3.5. The USGS says the epicenter about 3 miles north of Malibu. Watch commander at LA County Sheriff's Department station there says there are no reports of damage or injuries. There are reports though it was felt in parts of West LA, the South Bay, even as far south as the Orange County coast. The highly contagious whooping cough has risen to its highest level in California in years. According to the Department of Public Health, over 1,700 cases have been confirmed this year, compared to 300 in all of last year. LA County has 347 confirmed and probable cases so far this year, up from 126 last and more than four times the total in 2022. The CDC says infants younger than 1 year old are at the highest risk. Other people at high risk of severe illness include people who are immunocompromised or have moderate to severe asthma. A homeless man's been sentenced to 22 years to life for stabbing a homeless woman to death and trying to kill a man in Pomona back in 2019. Jose Mancinas pleaded guilty to killing the woman near a homeless shelter where they'd been both staying, along with another man the night before at a bus stop. L.A. Councilmember Kevin DeLeon's last day in office representing downtown L.A. going to be December 8th. He leaves City Hall as one of the most accomplished lawmakers ever to hold a city council seat. He's a former state senator, former president pro tem of the state senate, and former state assembly member. De Leon tells Craig Figner that the racist conversation secretly recorded in 2021 and his response to it cost him reelection.
You're an ambitious person. Your resume proves it. What do you do after council?
Well, the way I like to see it is I like to get things done. You know, so ambition with transformative outcomes is always a good thing. Truth be told, you know, post December 8th, I could not tell you what the future holds.
Any regrets? Anything you would have done differently as a council member?
Well, obviously, you know, what happened 3 years ago, you know, played a huge role with regards to the outcome of this election. I probably would have said, hey, don't say this and don't say that. You know, my silence, you know, I should have known better. And but we move forward, we grow, you know, we become better persons when we're on the mats and we get up and we clean ourselves off, you know, and we keep marching forward one step in front of the other. This is America, the best country in the world, and this is where we grow as individuals, and the future, you know, will be bright.
De Leon says he's not sure if he's ever going to run for office again. He was defeated by Isabel Hirado, who will attend her first council meeting December 10th. California voters have approved Prop 34, an apartment trade group measure to restrict spending by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation, which has bankrolled several rent control initiatives. But there are some questions about what's going to happen if it's challenged in court. Before the election, the foundation sued but failed to take Prop 34 off the ballot, arguing that it was unconstitutional because it singularly targeted them. But one legal expert told the LA Times that courts are usually very reluctant to take a measure off a ballot before an election, and that there was a good chance a judge would find it unconstitutional if the foundation goes to court to fight it. Small businesses in Big Bear are gearing up for the busy holiday season as the snow arrives. Natalie Tavidian has more.
The first couple days will be a slower start, according to business owners, but they're anticipating a busy Thanksgiving weekend as more people head up to the mountain. John Leroy, owner of Leroy's Board Store, says the snow is essential for business up on the mountain.
A lot of people were excited to get out there early. And then as the days moved on, it slowed down a little bit. Looks like the line going up to the resort is backed up and everybody's ready to get up on the mountain.
Emily Hodder helps run two of the last few family-owned gift shops left in Big Bear Lake, Scenic Gifts and Souvenirs and Scenic Outfitters.
Our winter season is when we make the most of our money because you have locals, you have tourists, you have everybody that's coming out to shop, look around, buy Christmas gifts, things like that. Also just to enjoy the snow. So you definitely are getting a lot more business during the winter because not everybody's prepared for that snow season.
The influx of visitors typically continues through mid-December. I'm Natalie Tavidian, KNX News 97.1 FM.
LA County's next district attorney is laying out his plans to rein in crime in an exclusive interview with KNX News. That's coming up as Nonstop News at 5 continues. Presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text Lemon to 40333 for a free case review. We are standing by, but all right, we're having some issues again with our technical equipment. I'm trying to get to the story. I'm going to let my producers know outside there that we have no information that I can look at on the screen. All right, we have Dan Schnur on the line with us. So we're going to talk about Donald Trump's new Treasury Secretary pick. And I apologize for our technical issue there, Dan, but thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So what can you tell us about this guy? Bessin is his name.
So Scott Bessin is an extremely, extremely wealthy hedge fund manager who's been a very big supporter of Trump's for most of the campaign. And so on one hand, he is very invested in the Trump economic agenda. On the other, because of his background and success on Wall Street, there's some hope among mainstream economic leaders that he might steer the president-elect toward a more conventional approach to economic issues, most notably issues like relating to tariffs and trade.
But what happened to his other picks from his first term? Because we've got a history we can look at of people who tried to steer him in conventional directions.
Well, this has been the biggest change between Trump 2020 and Trump 2016. When he was elected in 2016, Trump turned to a lot of more conventional Washington, D.C. types with considerable capital experience. And he found that they were not necessarily loyal to him or his agenda. So this time he's filling his cabinet with people who he knows much better and he knows are much more loyal to him. Bessin is an interesting case here in that he, on one hand, does have a very close personal relationship with Trump. His loyalty is not in question at all. On the other hand, his pre-Trump background is much more conventional. So in that sense, these two aspects of his biography work against each other, on one hand, perhaps satisfying MAGA Trump supporters, on the other hand, possibly reassuring some Wall Street investors.
All right, let's talk about one of the other picks he has just announced. One of the most pro-union Republican members of Congress as his labor secretary, Lori Chavez Dreamer, representing an Oregon district. She was backed by Teamsters boss Sean O'Brien, who kind of took the lead in not endorsing a candidate, at least for the national Teamsters. What do you make of her?
Well, as you know, and as most of your listeners know, one of the keys to Trump's victory earlier this month was his ability to attract large amounts of support from working class voters, voters who did not attend college. And Trump did much better among union members than a Republican presidential candidate had done in many years. And so by picking a labor secretary like Representative Chavez de Remer, on one hand a Republican, but on the other hand with very strong roots in the labor community, this is Trump trying to strengthen and perhaps even cement his relationship with those working class voters.
So we're talking working class voters here, but also it's kind of a cabinet of billionaires. There are a lot of very wealthy people in this. How does it compare to other presidential cabinets where, yes, they pick politicians and politicians do manage to get wealthy at some point, but he's picking people that have built a great amount of wealth. Is it too much in your view?
Yeah, it'll be hard to predict until we see this cabinet in action. And on one hand, he has picked an unusually large number of wealthy individuals from outside of politics and government, which shouldn't be all that surprising since he's a wealthy individual prior to 2016 who did not have any experience in politics and government. The most extreme nominee that he selected, Matt Gaetz, the former representative from Florida, who is, of course, no longer his nominee for attorney general, is probably the most contentious of his choices. But aside from Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the Health and Human Secretary, Health and Human Services nominee, and his nominee for National Security Advisor, while these individuals are wealthy, they're not all that unusual. So the Trump cabinet, in some ways, with certain exceptions, might be a bit more mainstream than the president-elect.
All right, USC, UC Berkeley political analyst Dan Schnur. Dan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, coming up, LA County's incoming district attorney Nathan Hochman explains what he's going to do differently to keep crime in check on Nonstop News at 5. Nathan Hochman campaigned for the position of LA County DA by promising to get tough on crime. So how is that going to play out when he takes over from George Gascon in early December? Charles Feldman and Margaret Guerrero talk with Hochman on Countdown 2024.
So here's what they can expect. We're going to go back and actually have the DA do his job. And by that, I meant that the prior district attorney had issued on his first day in office 9 special directives that's predetermined that certain crimes and certain criminals would not be prosecuted, even if the facts in the law would so justify a prosecution. For instance, juveniles who steal just under $950 and commit a misdemeanor, he said would never be prosecuted. Certain uses of the gun enhancement in connection with violent crimes would not be prosecuted. Gang enhancements against violent gang members who engage in violent actions as part of their gang activity would not be prosecuted. So what I will do is eliminate these prohibitions on prosecution, but not substitute one extreme policy with the extreme policy of mass incarceration. Another policy that didn't look at the facts in the law was trying to put as many people in jail as possible. The approach we take overall, I've called the hard middle, the hard work middle, because you got to do the work. You got to treat each case individually, look at the individual defendant and their background, the crime committed, and the impact on the victim. To determine who the true threats are to our public safety and need to be behind bars, those are often the repeat offenders, and Proposition 36 is focused on those repeat offenders. However, for the ones that aren't, your first-time nonviolent offender, they still have to pay a debt back to society if they violate society's laws. But that's where non-prison alternatives come into play. Community service, restitution, pay it back if you stole something. Or if you have a serious drug addiction, a diversion program that gives you a choice. Go to prison or do an 18-month rigorous rehab program, which if you finish one day at a time, will give you a certificate and wipe the crime off your record. So that's what I anticipate happening in the first 6 months, is we're going to go back to doing our job, and you won't ever hear from law enforcement an excuse that our hands are tied by the DA's office and these extreme policies, and therefore they're not investigating a case or bringing a case. Their hands won't be tied. My message to law enforcement, my message to anyone who's victimized is, look, if they can build that case beyond a reasonable doubt with legally admissible evidence, the DA's office will give each and every one of those cases a fair shake.
You brought up Prop 36. Given that you've gotten that green light now from the voters for stricter penalties for repeat thefts, drug offenses, walk us through how you would handle those cases.
Certainly. Proposition 36 said, and I'll focus on theft and drug use first, that if you're convicted three times, that means that you first, and so much of these convictions have not happened in the last 4 years because of George Gascon's blanket ban on actually prosecuting these cases. But if you're convicted three times of stealing just under $950, and the proposition allows it to be aggregated, so if you steal $900 on one day and $100 on the next day, that can be considered $1,000 and a felony. But assuming you have three convictions, the third conviction can be felony eligible, prison eligible, but it still requires a judge to actually sentence you to a felony in prison. It's not like the DA can make that decision for the judge. Same thing on drug use. If you're using meth, heroin, fentanyl, now police officers don't have to walk by and do nothing. They can go ahead and enforce the laws. But again, it requires that third conviction before the court can actually order treatment, or a fourth conviction would actually order jail time.
Countdown 2024 airs on KNX at 2:30 weekday afternoons, weeknights at 8. Also available on demand, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. 5:21, your money. Here's Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Could more American cars actually get made in Mexico? Well, maybe. Stellantis, the maker of Jeep, Chrysler, Ram trucks, and more, says it's open to plans to expand production into Mexico and other low-cost countries if President-elect Trump imposes new tariffs on auto imports. Meantime, another sign of the worldwide slump in auto sales. The German auto parts maker Bosch, whose spark plugs and other products are in nearly all makes and models, laying off 5,500 workers, most of them in Germany. On Wall Street, a new all-time high today for the Dow as stocks rose on consumer sentiment edging higher this month, along with U.S. business activity. The Dow up 426, a 1% leap, back above 44,000. The Nasdaq up 31, back above 19,000. The S&P added 21. And the new movie Wicked, opening wide this weekend, looks to be a huge hit already. It took in more than $19 million at the U.S. box office just in previews last night. I'm Bloomberg's Tom Busby, KNX News, 97.1 FM.
That's your nonstop news at 5 for Friday, presented by My Lemon Law Lawyer. Text LEMON to 40333 for a free case review.